So, this is a description of Bali. Dattva.
Dattva.
Imam.
Imam.
Yachamanaya.
Yachamanaya.
Vishnave.
Vishnave.
Yaha. Padatrayam.
Padatrayam.
Radham.
Radham.
Indrapadam.
Indrapadam.
Hitva.
Hitva.
Siddhim
Abhapsisi
Abhapsisi Tattva imam yachamanaya
Tattva imam yachamanaya
Tattva imam yachamanaya
Tattva imam yachamanaya
Vishnave jagpadatrayam
Vishnave jagpadatrayam
Vishnave jagpadatrayam
Vishnave jagpadatrayam
Radham indrapadam hitva
Radham indrapadam hitva
Radham indrapadam hitva
Radham indrapadam
Moving right along here. Dattva means giving in charity. Imam, this entire universe. Yachamanaya was begging for him. Vishnave and to Lord Vishnu. Yakbali. Maharaj Pratayam, three paces of land. Radham achieved. Indra Padam, Indra's post. Hitva, giving up. Pada, thereafter, Siddhim, perfection of Abhijati will achieve. So, Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Bali Maharaj gave a gift of three paces of land to Lord Vishnu. And because of this charity, he lost all the three worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Purport of Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is stated, Manushanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatadi Siddha Yeya. Many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. This success is explained here. Radham, Indra Pradam Hitva, Tathat Siddhim Abhapsiddhi. Siddhi consists of achieving the Lord Vishnu's favor, not the yoga siddhis. The yoga siddhis, Anima Lugima Mahima Prati Prakamya Ishitva Vashitva and Kama Vasayitva. Our temple, the ultimate siddhi is to achieve Lord Vishnu's favor. So, Dattva Imam Yachamanaya, having given this, Imam, this word, this here stands for world. So having given this, all this world, this entire material world, Yachamanaya Vishnave, to Vishnu, was asking for it. Having given this world to Vishnu, who was asking for it. Jagpadatrayam Radham Indra Pradam Hitva. Giving this whole world to Vishnu, who was asking for three steps of land. I'm just sort of figuring all the grammar right here. So that's literally what it means. Having given this world to Vishnu, here's the present tense, who was asking for three steps of land. We sometimes use the present tense in past narration. For example, during the Civil War, the general's riding to the battle, then he sees something, then he gets off his horse. So it's just, it's a common thing to use the present tense for past narration when there's a sense of you're sort of seeing it as you narrate it. So, having given this world to Vishnu, who was asking for three steps of land, Radham Indra Padam Hitva, giving up Indra Padam, the position of Indra, giving up the Indra's position which he had achieved, Radham Indra Padam Hitva, Tathat Siddhim Avapsiti, he will then achieve perfection. Tathat Siddhim Avapsiti. So, Krishna has different requests for us. I mean, Krishna is in the heart and everywhere else. And as they say, he knows us much better than we know ourselves. He basically knows everything about us. After all, he is omniscient. So, Krishna knows everything about us, and he is, as I often say, the supreme personality of personal trainer. So, it's like if you go to, one of these gyms like LA Fitness, down the road here, and I'm of course not endorsing that, but If you go to a place like that, then you work with a personal trainer, and the personal trainer has to diagnose your condition and tell you that, okay, what are your goals? What are your goals? And based on your goals, this is what you need to do. You need to do maybe like 10 repetitions on this machine with 3 pounds, maybe 5 repetitions on this machine with 10 pounds. And so the personal trainer gives you a program that will let you achieve your goals. So in the same way, we chant Hare Krishna or pray, sometimes we pray, devotees have been known to pray, then we, you know, what are our personal goals? Never mind our condition now, that's, we know the mess we're in, but the point is, what are our goals? And so our goals are to achieve Krishna consciousness, love of Godhead, to be ourselves again, to rediscover. I mean, think of the word discover, it means to take the covering off. Entdecken?
Discover.
So we have to discover ourselves. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, avritam jnanam etena jnanino nityavarina, that our consciousness is covered by our eternal enemy, kama rupena, in the form of lust, duspurena, which can hardly be satisfied, and analena cha. It's translated, it burns like fire, but actually what Krishna literally says is that it is fire. He just says it's fire, that lust is fire. So, so we are covered, avritam, and the whole point is to become discovered or uncovered, and that is our goal. Basically, someone is a devotee, or to be devoted to Krishna means, doesn't mean that we're perfect, doesn't mean that we're pure, it simply means we have the right goals, and that we are working in a reasonable, moderate way to achieve them. So, Krishna's in your heart, he's the Supreme Personality and Personal Trainer, and therefore, everything that happens to us, everything that happens to us in life is really just a series of exercises created by Krishna. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, it's just Krishna putting us through a workout. Like if someone insults us, it means, okay, tolerance practice. Yeah. Or if things are going well, okay, we have to tolerate success, because success for some devotees or some people who aren't so strong in Krishna consciousness, troubles degrade them in the sense that when they have troubles, they forget Krishna, lose their enthusiasm, and some people are degraded by success. So we have to go beyond these dualities, so Krishna will give us some troubles and Krishna will give us some success, and both of them are simply different exercise machines. If you think of it that way, it's sort of like, you know, KC fitness, Krishna consciousness. So so that's the process. So here, Krishna asked Bali, Maharaja, asked him for 3 steps of land. Of course, they were sort of giant steps. And Vishnu took the whole universe. So what will Krishna ask of us? Now there's this fear. People have this fear, like if I surrender to Krishna, oh my God, what's he going to ask of me? This is a, I've mentioned this many times, that there's a common misunderstanding, philosophical misunderstanding, evidenced when a devotee says something like, I'm not ready to surrender to Krishna, I can't surrender now. This is actually a philosophical misunderstanding. Because to surrender to Krishna doesn't mean to give up this or give up that or accept this or that. It simply means to trust Krishna. It simply means to trust that Krishna is not a religious fanatic. And he actually knows what he's doing. He's not, some people think that Krishna's like, as they say, a one-trick pony. You know, it's like, you approach Krishna, no matter what your situation is, he's only got one idea. You know, give up everything and just, I don't know, just do full-time service in some temple or whatever. So people, it's this idea that Krishna, he's really sort of unimaginative, he means well, but he's not very creative. And no matter what your situation is, no matter what your desires are, He's just going to tell you the same, do the same thing. He's only got one program. But actually, Krishna is very intelligent and creative. Krishna is in the heart of everyone, and Krishna gives everyone their own unique program. So, to surrender to Krishna, you don't have to be ready to give up anything or accept anything. You just have to trust Krishna that he knows what he's doing. He's not going to break you. He's not going to give you some program that you can't do. He's going to give you something you can do. And the irony is, people who are not the best and the brightest and who think I can't surrender to Krishna because I still have material desires, this is actually a big blunder, because if we trust Krishna, even our material desires will be satisfied more effectively than if we try to do it ourselves. In other words, Krishna's purpose is to bring us back to the spiritual world, not as pious and frustrated souls. Like, I really want all these things, but I'm just going to do the right thing because I know I should serve Krishna. And then you get to the spiritual world and you're about to explode. Krishna wants to bring us to the spiritual world satisfied, you know, satisfied customers. In the sense that we go to the spiritual world, we really don't want anything else. We're really happy to be there. So in order to get us to that point, Krishna will, if you surrender to him, trust him that he's not a religious fanatic and he actually knows what he's doing, then Krishna will lead you on a unique, custom designed for you path. And your material desires, ironically, will be satisfied more effectively than if you try to do it yourself. And your material desires will be satisfied in a way that doesn't degrade you. Somehow or other, Krishna is very creative, and somehow or other, he will figure out a way for you to be a satisfied customer, and in every respect, spiritually satisfied, you know, materially, psychologically, physically, in every way, you will be satisfied and you will not be degraded and you'll go back to Godhead. So the only requirement to surrender to Krishna is not that you're ready to give up this or accept that. But the only requirement is that you think that Krishna's not an idiot, that then he actually knows what he's doing. And if you surrender to him, he's going to give you a practical program. Krishna's not a religious fanatic, he really isn't. And he's also not quite as, what's the word? He's not nerdy. I mean, some people are very pious and nerdy, and they just think, no, you should do this, and they don't really get it. Like, that's not what life is about. So, Krishna's not fanatical, he's not a nerd, he's not clueless. He's really very intelligent, he really gets it. He really understands what it's like to be in this world. And so, if we surrender to him, we'll get a perfect program. So there's no reason not to surrender to Krishna. There's simply no reason not to, other than just sort of willful stupidity. In every way, we will have a better life if we give ourselves to Krishna. And here, in the case of Bali, this is probably the biggest donation to the Hare Krishna movement in history. He gave the universe.
Yeah.
Put the whole universe in the hundi box.
You can do it.
Yeah, so this probably is the biggest donation in history, isn't it? And if we look at Bali Maharaj, like you said, he was ready. Krishna did not ask him for something he couldn't give. He was thinking, sure, I'll throw that in. And why not? I'll throw in the universe. This is Vizana Spenda. So Krishna, and then he was happy. And then Krishna, what did Krishna? Krishna gave him back what he gave with interest, because he gave up a lousy material universe. And what did he get back? He got back this super planet, which was better than what he had. And at no extra cost to him, he got Krishna as his doorkeeper. I mean, that means Krishna stood there. So he got to be with Krishna all the time. He got this super planet. So that's the point. He gave up Indra Padam, Indra's possession, and he got Siddhi, he got perfection. So as is often said, we really are our own worst enemies. We really are our own worst enemies. And Krishna's trying to give us all this really great stuff, and we are, it's like, no, don't tell me, no, don't give that to me, no, I'll do it myself. And I'm just making a mess of everything. So really, all of our suffering or all of our anxiety is just due to our own foolishness. And if we just go with the program, it's like they say, if everything else fails, read the directions. So Krishna, anyway, Krishna's inviting us to receive all these gifts. Yes, you have a question?
Did you say it's more fear or pride that kind of gets in the way?
Oh, both. It depends on the particular kind of nonsense someone has in their head. Everyone has their own unique nonsense. Yes?
Like you said that Krishna also fulfills our material desire very effectively, so, but there is a chance of like also getting attached to the material desire.
No, if you are really surrendered to Krishna, then he will save you. He will do it in a way that you don't become degraded. If it's coming from Krishna. If you really give yourself to Krishna, and this is something that only you and Krishna know, and often only Krishna knows because we often fool ourselves. The point is that devotional service cannot be reduced down to the externals. That's what Rupa Goswami says in Rupa Deshamrita Nimagraha. In other words, you can go to Mangalarti, you can chant around, you can go on kirtan, but God knows what's really in your head. You can go to Mangalarti thinking that, you know, I'm really great because I'm in Mangalarti. So, external behavior is necessary. The external behavior following the principles is necessary, but it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. That's what Rupa Goswami says. If you don't follow the principles, or if you think the principles are sufficient, in both cases, you will lose Krishna consciousness. The real bhakti, which is the devotion, really giving your love, giving your devotion, trusting Krishna, that's something which other people can't see. They may see your body in Mangalarti, they may see you, you know, shaking your head. Sometimes they always chant japa, it's almost like you're afraid their head's going to go like flying off their neck. Some people should probably wear straps. Anyway, so, people may see us attending a particular program or chanting or doing this or that, but God knows what's really in our mind, what our motive is. And so the real bhakti, where you are truly humbling yourself before Krishna and truly doing your service for Krishna, not for any other motive, that's something only Krishna can see. And other people will see it later when they see your result, you know, whether you went up or down. So that bhakti, if we are truly devoting ourselves to Krishna, then he will protect us. After all, if it's Krishna's plan, if Krishna says, okay, this is the plan, he's going to protect you because you're acting under his order. Whereas if you try to enjoy the material world under your own command, then, you know, your insurance is invalid. What do they call it? It's, you know, your insurance is no longer, you're not covered. It's like if you have car insurance, you're covered as long as you do certain things. Or if you do something really crazy, like, you know, and you're responsible, then your insurance doesn't cover it. So if you want Krishna to cover you, you've got to stay within reasonable limits and carry out his program. It's like they have these electronic things or different things you buy, and it says that if you open this thing here, it voids your warranty. So we have to keep our warranty count by following Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
It seems seems to me that when somebody wants to enjoy the material world, you have to forget Krishna, otherwise you feel guilty.
When you want to do what?
If somebody wants to enjoy the material world, pretty much
yes.
You have to forget Krishna, because then you feel guilty. In other words, you're doing something that's
right.
Not in line with Krishna's plan. So, in that kind of case, even a devotee may still have material desires, but even though they may know that, yes, I should surrender.
Well, if you really believe that Krishna will somehow satisfy you, then it's a question of faith. If I believe that, yes, I have material desires, however, I trust that by surrendering to Krishna, if I surrender to Krishna, Krishna will somehow or other deal with it. Krishna will deal with it. Like I said, he's not a one-trick pony. It's not like all Krishna can say is just like this little wind-up toy that just says, give it all up, surrender to me, give it all up, surrender to me. If you surrender to Krishna, he will figure out a plan for you so that you will not become a frustrated old Prabhu. So it's a question whether you have that faith.
Right, it seems like that's the key, because if you don't have quite enough faith, you might not get there.
You might grab one for the SG, right?
Huh?
Go for the sense gratification.
Yeah.
That's what it really boils down to. We have to cultivate that faith. We have to, with our intelligence, we have to decide that Krishna knows what my material desires are. And he realizes that I can't go back to Godhead until I somehow outgrow them or somehow get past those desires. And Krishna will come up with a very practical plan based on real-world psychology to get me past that, if I just take shelter of him. Yes?
So how is the correct approach to pray to Lord that I have this material desire and I also want to surrender to you? At the same time, Krishna also removes the impurities in the heart. So
he removes what?
Impurities of, if Krishna is really...
Yes, but sometimes the removing the impurity involves some amount of authorized sense gratification. I mean, it's like Prabhupada cooked delicious prasadam for his first followers to wean them off bhog. So, in other words, a devotee doesn't pray to Krishna, I have this material desire, please fulfill it. The devotee prays, I have some material desire, please just deal with it, please do something. Whether it's giving me a higher realization or giving me some part, just, you know, something. Krishna may partially satisfy your desire, he may do this, he may do that, who knows what Krishna will do. Krishna's not predictable, he's not like this simpleton, we already know what he's going to do. Actually, you don't know what Krishna's going to do. And it's offensive to think that if I go approach Krishna, I already know what he'll say. Krishna's not that predictable. He's not like the, sort of fanatical temple commander you once had that should have been medicated. So, Krishna is, you don't know, that's the whole point. We pray to Krishna is, please just deal with it. Please just deal with it so that I can serve you. And whether that involves pravritti marg, whether it involves, to some extent, experiencing that object that you desire, to what extent you experience it, under what circumstances, to what extent you give it up. Krishna is a perfect psychologist. Krishna knows how to bring you from point A to point B. Krishna knows how to bring you from your present condition to pure Krishna consciousness. In a way, you're not going to go crazy, you're not going to, pounding the walls in frustration and agony because Krishna's ordered you to give things up that you can't give up, and you end up in a mental institution. Yeah, we were talking about that, right? The problem is that people, that some devotees, they have this imperfect conception of Krishna or Prabhupada. And then they either go to the extreme of trying to do what they believe Krishna and Prabhupada want without really understanding practically what their wishes are. And then they reject it say, well, I can't serve Krishna. I mean, there was a famous case of that in Europe, where someone, a big leader, believed that Prabhupada was really fanatical about celibacy, which he absolutely wasn't. And so this leader, in his own, kind of imposed this, I mean, really heavy regime, like controlling the private lives of married people, and everything, which probably never imagined doing. And then he sort of, like, it was too much, and he sort of snapped, and then rejected Prabhupada. But he wasn't, when he was following, his own conception. When he rejected, his own conception. And neither the accepting or the rejecting were very really had anything much to do with Prabhupada. It was just so a lot of times we're following and then sort of exploding and rejecting our own imperfect conceptions. And the real Prabhupada and the real Krishna are actually intelligent, reasonable people. So we should not be scared away from surrender because of our own severe conception of what God is. Krishna's actually a nice guy.
Seems like in our devotional life we can, seems like we can always do better, we can always try harder or something.
We can always give more donations to visiting sannyasis.
Oh, there you go.
We can always dig deeper.
So in some, and then of course also we go through kind of highs and lows. So if you're going through a low and you might be thinking, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong, or maybe I should be trying harder, or maybe it's just part of a test of, as far as, like you said, the personal trainer thing, or, you know, the room gets dirtier before it gets cleaner sometimes when you try to, you know, do a whole.
Well, the nice thing is that Krishna, you know, the Harinam is one-stop shopping. It's like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasaya Atmika Bhutir, Ekeha Kuru Nandana. If someone's really determined, their mind is fixed on one point. And Bhushaka Yanantascha Buddhaya Vyavasayanam, the attitudes, the intelligences, Buddhaya, of the undetermined are have many many branches, unlimited, I mean, are unlimitedly branched. And so, whatever the problem is, you know, whether it's psychological, you know, emotional, intellectual, physical, social, you know, whatever it is, financial, whatever it is, Harinam. It's Harinam. It's got everything. And that's the nice thing about Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter what my problem is. I don't have to grovel in all the details of my problems. I simply have to chant Hare Krishna properly. And that faith that if I just chant Hare Krishna, if I just chant the holy name sincerely, that will solve any and every problem. Isn't it?
I was speaking with somebody recently and they said the chanting doesn't work for me.
Well, maybe they don't work for Krishna. Maybe that person doesn't work for Krishna. Or maybe, what? It's, and there's, I mean, there's also a few other things. Like, and for one thing, when we chant, the way we feel when we chant, in a sense, is the way we make Krishna feel. Like, if you chant and you don't feel Krishna's present, that simply means that when you chant, Krishna doesn't think you're present. After all, he says, Jejata Mantra Bhajante. So, however you feel when you chant, that's how you make Krishna feel. Krishna is just reflecting right back to you what it's like to hang out with you. It's like that great Bob Dylan song, Positively Forestry. I wish that just for just one time I could stand inside your shoes. And you could, I could be you. Then you'd see what it. Then you'd know what a drag it is to be you, or to see you. Then, isn't it? I wish that just one time I could stand in your side your shoes. Then you'd know what a drag it is to see you. Or you know, no, I wish for one. Okay, God. So many years in the movement, I still don't know my Bob Dylan. I wish that for just one time you could stand inside my shoes. And just for that one time, I could be you. Then you'd see. Then you'd know what a drag it is to see you. So, It's, and also there are 9 devotional processes. I mean, somehow we have to give ourselves to Krishna. I mean, some people may not be the, you know, world's greatest chanters, but maybe they love the deities, maybe they want to do some service or something. But this way or that way, you have to give yourself to Krishna. And if you're trying, if you don't feel that Krishna's really responding, maybe you have to take a look at the way you're approaching Krishna. It's very easy to mechanize bhakti yoga. That's what Rupa Goswami warned us about. It's like, you know, it's like you pop a pill. For some people, chanting Hare Krishna at times of stress is like popping a pill. It's just a mechanical thing. You take the pill and then, okay, when to come on. In other words, they're not really approaching Krishna personally. They just think Krishna's like I don't know, like a soap pad or a pill or something like that. Just something you use to improve your consciousness as opposed to a real personal contact. It's a real person.
Is there any conflict between having a real personal contact and a temple having a very strict structure? You know, you do this at 4:30 a.m., you do this at 5:30, you're doing this at 9 o'clock, you're doing this at 12 o'clock, you're doing this at 3 o'clock. Does that take away?
Well, it's good
away?
To know the workday stops at 3. discipline is good. It's good. As I said yesterday, you'll never become really great at anything without discipline. You'll never become a serious athlete or musician. You'll never do that well in school or in your profession. You'll just, you know, it's just mediocrity. So that doesn't necessarily mean we have to be mechanical, because again, that structure simply creates a series of opportunities. In other words, if there's a rule that you should go to Mangalarti, and you go to Mangalarti, that just creates an opportunity for you to do the real bhakti. The fact that your body is in the temple room at a certain time, you'll get a few points for that. But the real thing is that when you're in the temple, that is the opportunity for you to actually do bhakti yoga, which means that you chant and give your heart to Krishna.
So you wouldn't say that's like a personal trainer then giving the same program to every single client, no matter what their health is or what their condition is. It's different than that.
Well, you know, temple life works for some people and doesn't work for other people. Some people just, you know, they don't quite make it in temples. Some people do. We have to be honest enough with ourselves to see what's best for us. We have to be honest enough to see what's really best for my Krishna consciousness. But there are some, like in gym class, you know, everybody does jumping jacks. And if you've got some kind of injury or you can't do jumping jacks, okay. But, you know, it's like a few jumping jacks are kind of good for everybody. So, if you think about it, it's like service. You know, there's different kinds of services in the temple. And even in the Arctic, let's say you go to the Mangalarti, it's a completely individual experience. You know, some people sing loudly, some people, well, it was good, actually, I liked it. I kind of, I feel like it was in a Vedic Irish bar. Anyways, I liked it. So, everyone has their own personal, private relationship with the deity. And everyone is chanting in their own way, everyone is relating to the deity in their own way.
Yes, Maharaj. And also, like you said, that is necessary when we cultivate our spiritual path, Krishna consciousness, there are some rules and regulations, discipline that we have to follow. And the main thing is that, like Prabhupada's, also I heard Prabhupada, is that you have to follow 4 regulative principles. You have to not be sinful. You have to be sincere in the Krishna consciousness path, and then only you can progress in the Krishna consciousness and in the spiritual path. So there are certain rules and discipline that we have to follow.
Oh yeah, and some people can't follow them.
Yeah,
I mean, that's reality. Some people can find it difficult.
Yeah, they don't progress. Yeah.
So I think that ultimately, what it comes down to is do your best. If you're doing less than your best, then you're really not going to make progress. If Krishna sees you're really doing the best you can, then, I mean, what can you say to someone who's actually doing the best they can? I mean, what else can you say to them? And if you're trying to do more than you can, you probably hurt yourself. It's like when you go to a gym. If you're just some overweight middle-aged guy, you're right. So it's like if you just if you go to a gym and you're not really in shape and you say, I think I can bench press 500 pounds. Yeah, you put that 500-pound bar on me. So it's, I mean, obviously you're going to hurt yourself. At the same time, you go to the gym and just sort of, do curls with a pencil. You're probably not going to help yourself. So it's a question of, now when Prabhupada said you have to follow four principles, of course, he was talking to people who enlisted or enrolled in a temple program. It's like you go to the university. The teacher says, if you want to do well in this course, this is what you have to do. But the teacher is talking to people who have chosen to take that course. I mean, the word devotee, by the way, it's from Latin, devoto. Voto in Latin is just the English word vote. Like to choose something, like to make a vow. It's the English word vow. Voto, in Latin, voto is just Sanskrit vrata. You just drop the R. That's what happens historically with languages, is that they tend to eliminate consonant clusters, as you all know. So vrata, you just drop the R, and it's Latin, voto. And then devoto. So the word devoto literally means to live by a vow. It literally means to live by vow. So when you make a vow and follow it, you literally become a devoto. So we should follow it, but everyone should do their best. It's just like personal training. If you try too much, you'll hurt yourself. If you do too little, there'll be no benefit.
And isn't it also that there are like different stages of advancement? Like, for instance, there are people, they won't follow the four religious principles or the schedule of the temple, but if they get prasadam, they do also kind of, they advance and they
oh, yeah.
Get spiritual paths.
Krishna so says like, that. Yeah, Krishna talks about those stages. Yeah, Krishna talks about those stages in chapter 12 of the Gita. He says that, what does he say? He begins by saying, Mayeva mana adhatsva. Fix your mind in me. Mayibu dhingi veshaya. And devote your intelligence to me. Niva sisha si mayeva. You will dwell in me alone. Ata urdvam. The sansaya from forever on, without doubt. But then Krishna says, if you can't do this, if you're not able to just give your mind fully to me, then he says, abhyasa yogena, then by abhyasa yoga. The word abhyasa, by the way, in the Gita, in earlier Sanskrit, is what later in India is called sadhana. Your spiritual practice. So the earlier Sanskrit word for it is abhyasa, which literally means repetition. Just practicing something. So Krishna says, if you can't simply fix your mind in me, then practice abhyasa yoga, which is sadhana, just practicing. And then he says, if you can't do that, mat karma paramobhava, then just dedicate yourself to working for me. And we see that. There are people that maybe can't live in a temple, can't follow the principles, but they want to do something for Krishna. They want to be useful. And Krishna accepts it. So it's not all or nothing. Krishna does not present an all or nothing picture in the Gita. He clearly says, do this, if not that, and there's plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. And Prabhupada was very much like that. Do the best you can. And we do have to find a sustainable level. Rather than just being, as they say, a flash in the pan. In Brazil they say fogo de palha, fire, straw fire. Like straw, if you light it on fire, it flares up and then it's out in a second. That's how they say flash in the pan. In Brazil, they say straw fire. So, we have to find a sustainable Krishna-conscious lifestyle. And be steady at that, and then gradually do a little better. That's just common sense. I mean, that's just human life.
And also, Maharaj, for that reason, there is also training also there. You know, so that is how we will be trained into that system, and then we will, you know, progress smoothly.
Yeah, but the trainer has to be expert. The trainer can't be, again, you know, Johnny One Note. The trainer has to realistically, intelligently assess the trainee. I mean, imagine a trainer that says, actually, everybody should be lifting 300 pounds, and everybody should be running 20 miles a day. That's what I do, and I feel great. And then you get some, you know, like 70-year-old guy with a heart condition. And it's, okay, why don't you run 20 miles? It's, the point is, everyone's in a different situation. And the trainer has to be expert. So, there's no other question?
I'm just wondering, in that verse, what is exactly the perfection that's being spoken of for Bali Maharaj? Was
the letzte Frage.
Getting the planet with Krishna as the doorkeeper? Was it going to the spiritual world later after being Manu, or what was it?
It was, all of the above.
Okay.
Manu, I mean, Bali Maharaj won the grand prize.
We got
you. You got Vishnu, you got everything. All material opulence, spiritual perfection.
But he was going to have to go through so many, I don't know, how many years to be Manu, and then Manu.
It doesn't matter. He wasn't just sitting in a lobby somewhere for all that time. He was actually enjoying a wonderful planet. So
sometimes being in a war is. Well,
anyway, Bali's a great soul. He's a great devotee.
One of the Mahajan.
Yes, one of the Mahajan. Actually, in Latin, that'd be magna gente, mahaja. So, no other questions? If not, I will show my mercy by breaking for breakfast.
Sure.
Srila Prabhupada
ki jai. Vidyananda Das Goswami Maharaj ki jai.